Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This podcast was brought to you in part by Dragon Shield. Use code PLAY2WIN5 at the affiliate link down below for 5% off to help support the show.
Welcome to the Play to Win podcast, where we talk about winning in CEDH. I'm Cam.
And I'm Dylan. This week we have a very special request. We're talking about something that we don't normally talk about, casual commander win cons.
Yes, so this was a recommendation from our patron SoCal Acura, where he asked us to talk about some win conditions in casual EDH. And it's been a little bit since we talked about casual, so we figured this would be a great time to talk about that.
If you want to submit some topics for us to talk about on the podcast, you can do that on our Patreon at the $100 tier.
That's where we do that.
That's where we do it. So thanks so much for supporting SoCal. Casual win cons, casual combos, casual win the game stuff in casual commander. This is specifically not CEDH.
Yeah, so everything that we're looking at today, I curated a list of combos that I tried to make not CEDH combos and also commander agnostic as well. So things that weren't going to be like only specific because your commander does a specific thing.
Right, yeah, that would just be way too many of a thing, I think. That would
exactly.
That's like another topic entirely. And also infinite mana combos, those also aren't really going to be included here.
Yeah, we're not talking about infinite mana because that's not a game-winning situation. Like, you can win the game, but you need something else, and really there you can win the game with anything with infinite mana. So.
Right, yeah. So, and then there is kind of a strange distinction because some casual players don't play any combos in any of their decks. That's a line where it's too far. To me, a casual combo is anything that's not a CEDH combo. That is how I define casual, is if it's not CEDH, then it's casual. To me, there's only two. There's so many levels, the 7, 8, 9, all the numbers and whatnot. But for me, that's just kind of how it sits. So if it's not a CEDH combo, we'll talk about it here.
Yeah, that's basically what it is. If it's not a CEDH combo, we'll talk about it here. Maybe there are some that, I don't know, maybe we have seen them in some certain CEDH situations, and maybe we'll categorize them as CEDH combos, and we won't include them in the ranking, because obviously we're going to rank all these combos too, based on good criteria and not just personal feelings.
100%.
Otherwise, I don't think I have any other prerequisites. Oh, I guess other than some of these combos are also one card win conditions technically.
Okay.
But they require other setup to make them good. And that'll make more sense as we get to them.
Should we go over what are the CEDH combos that we're specifically not talking about, or should we not even bother talking about exactly the opposite of what I just said we're going to talk about first?
Yeah, sure. If you want to listen to CEDH combos, look at the video in the link below.
Okay, yeah, there we go.
When we talked about the top 10 CEDH combos.
Welcome back. Thanks for going and watching that. You're here now again. Let's talk about casual win conditions.
All right, let's just get into this. So I guess let's just get into it here. All right.
You're like a 5-year-old's first podcaster. Yeah. I guess let's get into it. And
We'll get into it. All right. So the first combo that we're going to talk about is Grey Merchant of Asphodel plus Yawgmoth Thran Physician as our sacrifice outlet, and then Machaeus the Unhallowed to round out our combo pieces. And what we're doing is using Yawgmoth to sacrifice Grey Merchant of Asphodel to put a -1/-1 counter on another one of our creatures and drawing a card. Machaeus will bring Grey Merchant back because it gave it Undying. So it comes back with a +1/+1 counter, and then its enter the battlefield trigger will happen, draining opponents for a bunch of life. Then you can sacrifice the other creature that you put a -1/-1 counter on to put a -1/-1 counter on Grey Merchant, so that way that other creature will come back with Undying, and Grey Merchant of Asphodel can be re-sacrificed to Yawgmoth so that it can come back with Undying and keep triggering over and over again, and essentially have, I should say, near infinite life gain, near infinite life loss for your opponent based on your devotion to black, which is already huge considering that you have Machaeus, which is 3, Yawgmoth, which is 2, and then Gray Merchant, which is two.
Yeah, I think for me, this win condition is like Gray Merchant of Asphodel. This is the way to infinitely kind of do it and kill your opponents in a casual way. We say casual because it's very mana intensive. It's very card intensive. You mentioned four cards you have to have there. That's kind of a lot of cards. Technically, Mikaias could be the commander in the specific situation that you're talking about, but I feel like more often than not, this combo that I see is like Gray Merchant of Asphodel for a big amount of devotion, sacrificed, reanimated some other way. You know what I mean? Sacrificed with another one of your own spells, a Fleshback Marauder, reanimated with an Animate Dead. To me, that's like the casual win that I see most with this one. And I think it's a great way to actually win the game without a combo, because more often than not, you don't really need to loop it together. If you're playing casual and you've flooded the board with a whole lot of devotion, casting Gary, sacrificing and reanimating a couple times is going to win you the game.
I think a theme that we'll see with this list is that a lot of these combos will have one card that just enables combos with like multiple other cards than two. So I think Gray Merchant of Asphodel is really the standout card here, kind of like what you were saying. There's another version of Thassa's Oracle, Demonic Consultation with Gray Merchant, where if you kick Rite of Replication, you make a token that's a copy of target creature, and if the spell's kicked, you make five of those tokens instead. So you make five Gray Merchant of Asphodels.
Yeah.
Which is basically Thassa's Oracle, Demonic Consultation.
I guess it is, with an enormous amount of mana.
Yeah, but like that's just like another example. Like, you can set up all these different scenarios with reanimates and Dance of the Deads where you can just keep getting rid of your Gary and bringing him back all the time.
Yep. Yeah, I play this in my Villas deck, my casual Villas deck. It's a great way to win the game. It can kind of win out of nowhere in a way because you don't have to deal the combat damage, but also everyone sees it coming. They see all the permanents that you have, so it gives people enough time, which I think is a good thing for casual, to allow people to see the win coming a little bit. I know that is very anti play to win. That's not really how we normally play Magic on this channel, but if I'm playing casually, a lot of the times I don't really want to win out of nowhere. I want my wins to kind of develop slowly and tell a story. God, I feel like a casual.
No, but that is kind of what that's doing, right? Like, it's not necessarily always happening over the course of one turn. Like, technically you're winning the game by comboing all these cards together over the course of two turns, maybe, if no one has a way to get rid of your graveyard or something.
Yeah. For me, I'm going to rate this one out of 5. This is like a 4.5 for me. I think it's super powerful. I think it's one of the strongest win conditions in Casual Commander, at least in the pods that I see. Gray Merchant wins a lot of games. Even though, yes, Kurik is a CDH deck, I'm really speaking of... it doesn't count for some reason. In my head, it doesn't count. So it's a casual combo.
Yeah, no, I feel like it is too. And I feel like Gray Merchant is like the epitome of ways in black to win the game. Just because... it's super iconic. I think 4.5 is a great rating for it. That's all based on
facts
and evidence.
I enjoy it 4.5 out of 5.
Yes. Yeah. I think that's a great way to do that. Yeah. All right. The next combo then is actually a combo that I've seen a little bit more in other formats than Commander here. But this is the 2-card Monty combo. This is Helm of Obedience and Rest in Peace.
Oh, sure.
So if you're not familiar, Rest in Peace is one and a white for an enchantment that exiles all cards from our graveyards. And if anything would go to the graveyard, it just goes to exile instead. It's a replacement effect, which makes sense because Helm of Obedience says, target opponent puts cards from the top of his or her library into their graveyard until a creature card or X cards are put into the graveyard this way, whichever comes first.
And they're never going to the graveyard because Rest in Peace is out.
Exactly. So this essentially mills out your entire opponent so that they'll just lose the game right then and there.
One opponent. It mills out just one opponent.
Correct. Yeah. Because it's one opponent.
Not three opponents, which is what we have in Commander. If this did mill three opponents, I think this would be like an excellent CDH win con, actually.
Yeah.
But it being only one opponent, this did see some play in old stacks decks of CDH many, many years ago, but I haven't seen it play CDH in a long time.
Yeah, because if you were already playing Rest in Peace, this would just make sense to add like one other card to your deck that could slowly ping off the players, because you were a stacks deck, so you only had to take out the one player that you were worried about getting around your stacks pieces like Kinnan or something, and then you could worry about like the ad nauseum player last after that.
Yeah, as far as casual win conditions, I'm going to be honest here. May I be frank?
Yeah.
I'm going to give this a low rating because to me, All my combo pieces in casual, they have to be on theme. A commander deck can have a couple themes, normally 2 to 3 themes, but if unless your theme, like what is your theme that you're playing both of these cards? Besides like just like maybe they're cards that you like, which can also be fine. But for me personally, I don't know that there's a theme that I'd be looking to play Rest in Peace and Helm of Obedience separately in the same deck besides for this.
Maybe the theme of your deck is cards that have artists with two names on them. Like okay. Like they have a first and a last name on them. So maybe that's your theme.
That's like a lot of Magic cards, I feel like. That's like a good chunk of them. It's neat that it can take one player out. The issue with taking one player out in casual also is sometimes it's hard to close the game out after that. So then like that one player just gets to sit and watch the rest of the table play for another hour.
Because like they let that player die, but then someone else had a Crossing Grip before right. You could untap with it.
Yeah. So now that one player is out for the whole game.
Yeah, so it's like unless you have Seedborn Muse and you're actually able to like make this a 3-card combo and take out other players, this is going to be a feels bad some percentage of the time.
Maybe there's something that if you have a commander that allows you to untap stuff, maybe I'm a little bit more interested. Maybe if it's a commander that both allows you to untap stuff and is an Enchantress commander. Does such a card exist? A card that says untap a permanent and also says whenever an enchantment, blah, 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 blah.
Wow, that's tough because enchantments typically don't tap. So I don't know if they've ever put that together.
That would be the only commander that I would play these two in a casual deck for me.
I feel like you'd have to be like Derevi or something like that. Like in Derevi, okay. Derevi with a spin on enchantments.
Yes. Oh, okay. Yeah. Maybe Derevi with a spin on enchantments. That's something.
That's if I wanted to play the 2-card Monty combo in casual, that's I think the direction that I would go.
Yeah, that's a good
however,
commander for this.
When I think you're right though. When I think of this combo, I think of Legacy, and I think of like these Eternal formats where this is actually going to win the game the second that you get the combo off for a very kind of a small amount of mana. Helm of Obedience isn't cheap, right?
It's like 4 mana, I think.
It's 4 mana. That's a lot of mana in casual commander. Like, I'm not playing Mana Vault in my casual commander deck, so I'm not turboing out this shit.
Yeah, that's also true. That's also true. For me, I'm going to give it like a 1.2 though.
I was going to give it like a 2.
Two.
So
okay.
Let's give, so that means that when we average those together,
1.6 or 7 or
it'll be,
I'm not actually sure what math is.
So that's 3.2 divided by 2 sounds like it is 1.6. I'll double check the math and I'll re-record my voice if it turns out to be wrong.
I think I probably should have rated Great Merchant of Asphodel a little bit higher now that I'm thinking right now, but I already locked it in. It was my gut reaction.
I don't know. Maybe we'll find some that are even cooler. I don't know.
Should we move on to the next one?
Yeah, let's talk about the next one. The next one is Mind Crank and Blood Chief Ascension. Mind Crank also works with a couple other cards here, but let's talk about this one. So this is infinite mill that this combo gets you, near infinite life gain and near infinite life loss for your opponent. So the way this works, we've talked about Blood Chief Ascension on the show before. At the beginning of each end step, if an opponent lost 2 or more life this turn, you put a quest counter on it. And whenever a card is put into an opponent's graveyard from anywhere, if there's 3 quest counters on it, that player loses 2 life and you gain 2 life.
I honestly got sidetracked in the middle of you saying that long ass card. There
that's fine.
So many things and they're all different numbers. I really wish they would just like make it a little bit better.
It is dumb. Everything is 2 except for the mana cost and the number of quest counters that need to be on it, which is very stupid.
Yeah, okay.
Now, Mindcrank says that whenever an opponent loses life, that player mills that many cards. So if Blood Chief Ascension is turned on, something goes to the graveyard, that player will then lose 2 life. When that player loses life, Mindcrank makes them mill 2 cards, which then makes them lose 4 life because of Blood Chief Ascension, which means that then Mindcrank will make them mill 4 cards, which means that they'll lose 8 life because of Blood Chief Ascension. And this way, every time a player has something go to the graveyard, they will lose the game then.
Interesting. So the CEDH Talion decks don't play Mindcrank, right?
I've never seen Mindcrank in a CEDH Talion deck.
Can you remind me one more time exactly what Mindcrank does?
Whenever an opponent loses life, that player mills that many cards.
It could be devastating if you play that pass and then your Underworld Breach opponent goes, excellent. I'm going to get that nauseam.
See, I think that's why they don't play it, right, because there's so many Underworld Breaches. And even like your time opponents are going to eat that up too. But like this would work. I guess, can players win the game then without putting things into their graveyard? Like in Kenrith, I could go through a dockside loop with this in play.
Yeah.
And still like win the game through this too. I guess because it's not 100% foolproof. I haven't seen this in CEDH.
It's probably not worth it. Nowadays, I feel like in CEDH, everything has to be pulling so much. Every single card. I can't have any cards that are a little bit dud. So definitely makes sense why this doesn't see play in CEDH, which by our definition kind of makes it a casual combo. I definitely see it talked about more than I see it played. I feel like in our casual pods, this is not one that comes up either.
No, but it's definitely, I think, one of the more iconic combos that you have. This and Mindcrank and Duskmantle Guildmage also go together too, because Duskmantle Guildmage can force someone to mill and then also has the ability to give itself the Bloodchief Ascension triggers then too to make that go infinite.
Yeah, I think this is only one that I'm specifically playing in blue-black mill decks in Commander, which is probably not a deck that I would play much. But outside of that, I don't think, although you could jam this in like every black-based deck, this could go right in. Without it being a mill deck, the cards are going to feel extra bad. Whereas if you're doing mill stuff, both of these cards will still do some things on their own if you're already milling your opponent in other ways. So I like it in mill decks. I think it's great there, but it's not a combo in that I put in all my casual decks for sure.
No, because even in casual, there are a lot of decks that will take advantage of that. There's a lot of people that do like reanimation strategies or like even Eternal Witness, right? Like they still have access to their graveyard. You're giving them advantage if you don't have something to do with the Mindcrank right away. So
yeah.
I don't know. It being like a really solid two-card combo, I think it's still going to get a pretty high rating. I think I would give this combo a four.
Four, yeah. Four on, and we're rating it on enjoyment?
Yeah, I enjoy it, because if I know that if you're playing this combo in your deck, you're probably not going to win. So I enjoy seeing it.
Yeah, okay.
Because, you know.
Yeah, I'll give it a four.
Yeah, so yeah. It gets a four. Great. Then the next combo is another one of these combos that has a card in it that just goes infinite with the ham sandwich.
Okay.
This is Kiki Jiki and Combat Celebrant.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. So we do see Kiki Jiki in CEDH. This one definitely toes the line.
Yeah.
This is the 5-mana 2/2 that taps to copy non-legendary creatures.
Non-legendary. Important.
And there's like a billion creatures that have text that will allow you to untap Kiki Jiki in some kind of a way.
Or flicker the Kiki Jiki, exile and return right away.
Yeah, exactly. And of course, Kiki Jiki has haste,
yeah.
So it doesn't matter that he just entered the battlefield. But Combat Celebrant is one where you get infinite combats this way. Instead of making infinite tokens, you just get infinite combats, because at the beginning of each combat, you're untapping all of your creatures, allowing you to reuse Kiki Jiki on a new Combat Celebrant with haste.
Yeah, I think the distinction between casual and CDH for Kiki Jiki lies in Birthing Pod. So if you have like a one card win condition like Birthing Pod or Vivian on the Hunt that allows you to get Felidar Guardian, Karmic Guide, and Kiki Jiki, and then just with your one card and sacrificing a 3-mana creature or sometimes a 2-mana or 1-mana creature, depending on how many colors you have access to, you can go for the win from there. To me, that crosses the line in CDH. For some reason, one card win the game right now on the spot, that's a CDH thing for me in our levels of what we define casual as. But having Kiki Jiki and just like another creature, I think that's totally within the realms of casual Commander. I think that's totally fine. Having like specifically like the blue ones, I feel like the Pestermite Kiki Jiki is just like a classic Magic fun. You know
yeah.
what I mean? Like that's just like, it's in all the cubes. It's a lot of players' favorite thing to do ever. If you want a Splinter Twin in casual Commander, I absolutely think you should be allowed to.
Especially
it's not good in CDH, right?
Especially because you can't do it in Modern anymore.
There's
either.
Nowhere else to do it. Yeah.
This is where you should be able to do something like that.
Yeah. And there's so, like you said, there's so many different pieces between not only like the
Combat Celebrant,
but like Zealous Conscripts. There's so many A's and B's between Splinter Twin, Kiki Jiki, and all of the things that
in
they hook
that
it up with.
Jeskai Color Pie in particular, like between Felidar Guardian, Village Bellringer, Deceiver Exarch, like there's Zealous Conscripts. Like there's so many 5-mana red drops also that do the same thing with Kiki Jiki.
I also wonder about the Imperial Recruiters. They can also find a Kiki Jiki line just off of themselves. But for me,
they're CEDH cards for me.
They are CEDH cards, but they are closer to casual only because the amount of mana that you need is like 13. It's a ridiculous amount, but it is still, like I just said a couple seconds ago, a one card I win on the spot right now if you have all that mana.
Yeah.
So is that CEDH then?
I would say that if that's going to follow the same rule as Birthing Pod then I wouldn't also be including the recruiters. Because
yeah,
in that
would.
Deck, instead, I am playing Splinter Twin too. So like I'm still playing two copies of this effect that can still go infinite with like most of these creatures that we're talking about, but
the tutors are kind of what push the deck the furthest, I think, out of all the things. Fast mana is up there too and what pushes the deck, but having like tutors and being able to be consistent, that is one of the surefire things that pushes a deck closer and closer to CDH.
And for me, part of casual is that not all of my games are going to go the same as the way CEDH is. Like CEDH is like is kind of a little bit more like constructed, where I'm like, no, I know what my deck's trying to do. And
the same thing every single game in CDH.
I love doing that thing, and I want to do that thing, except if you play Atali. But like in casual, I like that aspect of I have multiple win conditions in my deck. Maybe if I am playing an all-out Splinter Twin deck, like maybe that's the only way that I have to win the game. But like in my Glissa deck, I have like Massacre Worm as a win condition. I have Mindslaver as a win condition. Like it just depends on what I draw into naturally as opposed to having the silver bullets for everything.
Yeah, I'm definitely big on take all your tutors out of your casual decks and replace it with card draw because it's so much more fun to just look for it. It's so much more fun to, I'm going to cast a Dig Through Time and try to find it rather than I'm going to Mystical Tutor to the top of my library. For me personally, that's what's more fun. So I would give Kiki Jiki in casual. I still love Kiki Jiki. It's an awesome card. I'll give it, it's better than Mindcrank. I like it more than
Mindcrank. It's better than Mindcrank. I like it personally better than Grey Merchant, actually. I would give it a 4.7.
Interesting. How do I get it so that it rounds down to lower than 4.5? What did you give the Grey Merchant of Asphodel?
I gave it a 4.5 as well.
I'm going to give it like a 3.8.
You're giving it a 3.8? You're tanking it that bad? Holy shit.
It should be better than Mindcrank still, and I did give Mindcrank a 4 accidentally. So I'll give Kiki Jiki a 4.001.
Okay, so a 4.001.
Right.
Plus 4.7. Christ. All right. Well, I'm going to figure out the math for that later because I can't be bothered now.
Great. Should we talk about another casual Kara combo or win condition in casual commander?
Yeah. So at this point on the list, I was like, well, what other cards just like are popular combo cards in casual?
Yeah.
And Nimdeath Mantle always comes to mind for me.
Oh, sure.
Because before I got into CEDH, I had a friend that would kick my ass with his casual Brea deck all the time, and Nimdeath Mantle was a combo that he had in there.
Yeah. What does Nimdeath Mantle do?
So Nimdeath Mantle is a very interesting one. So this is an equipment. It's 2 mana, and it says, equip creature gets +2/+2 and has Intimidate and is a black zomb. Who gives a shit?
Yeah.
Right? It says, whenever a non-token creature is put into your graveyard from the battlefield, you may pay 4. If you do, return that creature to the battlefield and attach Nimdeath Mantle to it. That's like an enchantment text. That's not like, oh, this equipped creature has it. No, no, no. That's just static.
Like, it's just on there.
It's just there.
Yeah.
So when you have Ashnod's Altar, which lets you sacrifice a creature to add 2 colorless mana.
I'm with you.
And some sort of creature that can make multiple bodies. You can create infinite mana this way.
Orcish Bowmaster.
Orcish Bowmaster. I need more bodies than that. I need 2 bodies at least.
Orcish Bowmaster is 2 bodies.
So, no, I need it to make 2 bodies at least.
Oh, so Bowmaster, you need 3 bodies. Makes 1
bodies. Yeah. So the way that it works is if you have Brea out, and when Brea enters the battlefield, you make 2 blue thopters.
I'm starting to connect the dots here.
Yeah. So you sacrifice those creatures to make 4 mana, and then you can activate Ashnod's Altar's ability by sacrificing Brea to the Ashnod's Altar, bringing it back with Nimdeath Mantle. So this means that Brea comes back and makes 2 more creatures.
You had to use 4 of the mana to activate the ability, but you made 2 mana with the Ashnod's. So you're up 2 mana at this point.
Exactly. We're up 2 colorless mana at this point now, right? So that's our loop. We can keep making 2 colorless mana this way. And now Brea has even more text because she's busted. For 2 colorless mana, you can sacrifice 2 artifacts and then choose one. And one of those things is deal 3 damage to a creature or player.
Yep.
So after you make infinite mana, you just keep going through the loop to deal 3 damage to everyone and you can win the game that way. So it's a 2-card combo with your commander, and we did say that we were going to do commander agnostic cards. So if you want to stay in mono black, you can do the same thing with Marionette Master, and this combo still makes the list then.
Okay, yeah, sure.
And then this way there's significantly more decks that have access to that.
Yeah, so this is just a mono black combo if you're an artifact base.
Exactly. Well, you don't even really have to be.
I guess you don't have to be.
You don't you don't have to be, but I would want to put this in an artifact-based deck, which means technically I could put this in Glissa the Trader.
Ooh, is Marriott Master the tokens that it makes, are they also artifacts?
Yeah, because the servos that it makes are colorless artifact creatures.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes. This is a great, I feel like, artifact black-based win condition in Casual, because all the things, Nim's Deathmantle also like will do shit just like by itself. When shit dies, spend more 4 mana to bring it back. Like, that's having like a 4 mana reanimate like on the battlefield is going to be great in Casual,
especially in like a Glissa deck where like if my stuff dies, like I can bring.
Why don't you play this in Glissa?
Because I don't play infinite combos in Glissa, but I don't know. The more that we talk about combos on the show, the more I'm like, I kind of want to play this in Glissa.
My rules for Casual combos for that, I'll play them in my deck. They have to be at least 3 cards.
Yeah.
All the cards have to be on theme, and it's got to cost at least 7 mana, even at like at least 7 mana.
All the cards together. Yeah,
all the cards together. If it fits those requirements of 3 cards, 7 mana, and all the cards are individually on theme, then I say go for it. And in this particular situation, it's artifacts and graveyards and sacrificing stuff. It would all be on theme for Glissa.
Well, you know, this also works with Wyrmcoil Engine. You need like a little bit of extra mana up initially.
Okay.
But because Wyrmcoil Engine... Oh, no, you don't, actually. Because Wyrmcoil Engine makes 2 bodies when it dies, you just order it a little bit differently, and then this way you get infinite colorless mana, you get infinite creature tokens.
What about, isn't there another Wyrmcoil Engine that's like a 9 mana one that leaves behind 3 bodies when it dies? It's like a big Titan or something. I was at a bachelor party this weekend, and I got that card played against me in a, what's the mono red Duretti deck? Huff wrecked you with it?
Hell yeah, that's awesome. Phyrexian Triniform is the name of that card.
That sounds like the name of it.
I mean, there's a ton that go with this. Like, I just found another cool one here. Mirror Battlesphere.
Oh, classic.
Yeah.
What is it called? Ball something. This card's got a nickname. Battle Ball.
The Battle Ball. That is what that is.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, I love Mirror Battlesphere. Like, there's a ton of ways that if you just have, like, Quark Clan Ironworks or, like, any of these things that are, like, sacrifice an artifact or sacrifice a creature and you can make multiples of those things, Nim Deathmantle is, like, an all-star in killing your opponents with ways to do this.
Yeah, I think that's great for that level of what? What did you find?
Oh, my God. So I already play Imhotep, the Stormlord, in the deck. In Glissa, so all I need to do is add Nim Deathmantle and Ashnod's Altar, and because Imhotep says whenever one or more artifact cards leave my graveyard, I create 2/2 artifacts.
Oh, that's another one.
Yeah, so like again, this is one that you just have to work around a little bit differently, but you still get infinite colorless mana, infinite creature tokens.
Yeah.
So I just need to add these 2 cards.
I think we just gotta just shift our casual meta, because I feel like we have 2 levels of casual decks, the casual decks that kind of aren't really doing combos and the casual decks that are. And then I have like my Gisa and Giralf deck that's doing combo stuff, and AC that's basically doing combo stuff, and Vilas that's almost doing combo stuff. I feel like Glissa can just put those cards in and then play in those decks now.
I'm starting to understand how more casual groups come to CEDH.
Yeah, because even though we like started over, we're still like inching our way back somehow.
Because when we started playing casual Commander together, I had Maelstrom Wanderer together and I had Kiki Jiki Splinter Twin, Deceiver, Exarch, and Pestermite all in the deck, and that was just like a way I could win. And then we shifted back. Now we played 0 combos and now we're slowly coming back up. I feel like it's just this inevitable cycle that you get into.
Yeah, it's just a cycle, I think. I think it's nice to have other power levels. In the beginning, we talked about how it's just casual and CDH, but even so, like, that's still not really true. You know what I mean? There are levels. I'm not going to play my AC deck against a pre-con level deck. It's just, there are levels with inside
of
Commander.
Yeah, and I'm still going to have a lot of decks that are just like, no, I'm just trying to play creatures and kill you with combat damage.
Tovalar still exists. My Werewolf deck is going to suck forever, but I'm going to attack with Werewolves and it's going to be awesome.
My Aragorn deck is like that. It's just, no, I'm just playing good combat creatures and attacking. That's all I want to do.
What card are we talking about right now?
This is Nim Deathmantle is the card that we're talking about.
This one's great. A 4.4 for me.
4.4 for you. I'm going to give this a 4.3, so it's a 4.35.
Yep.
The next one's also classic. This is Exquisite Blood and Veto Thorn of the Dusk Rose. Really, this is Exquisite Blood with anything that says whenever you gain life, your opponents lose life, because Exquisite Blood says whenever your opponents lose life, you gain life. So you just create these bounce effects. That's not what it is. Bouncing means something. Drain effects.
Yeah. Sanguine Bond. Is that how you pronounce the name of the first one?
Sanguine Bond. Yeah, and then Exquisite Blood.
To me, that's the OG of this combo.
That's the OG. But then they printed Veto at 3 mana.
That's strictly better, right?
Yeah, it's kind of strictly better.
Well, it's a creature, but whatever.
And Veto also gives your creatures lifelink as well if you put 5 mana into him. So he also has a way that he can trigger the combo himself without you needing a third card in the combo to go off, or like a creature to deal combat damage and actually get in for something. A
lot of black-based combos, it seems like, that we've talked about so far. It seems like black has access to a lot of different ways to combo in kind of the more casual side of things.
Yeah, I did notice that. So the tune will change as the list goes on. But we are pretty black-heavy to begin with here.
Yeah, this one's great. I think it's super fun. I give it, I don't know, what do you give it, a 4?
It's got to be close to Gray Merchant as well. Yeah. This is... In like the Dina Soul Steeper decks, that like there's a lot of green based decks that can do this. There's a lot of black white based decks that can do this. Like, this is a mono black based combo, but it's actually being played in so many different color combinations.
Yeah, I don't really love this one as much, just for me, because I feel like it's been in a lot of vampire decks, and I don't think it's a great vampire card. I understand that what it does is flavorfully vampire ish, but it's just a lot of times when I'm playing vampire decks, I want more actionable things. Not,
I want more vampires to trigger Edgar.
I want more vampires to trigger Edgar and stuff. So I haven't been a fan of this combo personally. And that's also another reason why I don't love it just in general, is it's like a 5 mana do nothing enchantment.
Yeah.
Like, unless it doesn't create anything on its own, I'm going to give it a less than a 4, I think.
You're going to give it less than a 4?
I'm going to give it a 2.5.
Wow, a 2.5. Well, then I'm going to give it a 4.
4, okay.
Yeah, 2.5. Plus 4. And then I think whatever it comes out to be, I think that's a pretty fair grade that it will get.
Sure, yeah.
That will make...
Let's move on.
Let's move on.
Fuck this card. Stupid card.
Yeah, fuck that card. I'm giving it a 3.
Yeah.
So the next one we're going to talk about breaks the rule a little bit.
Okay.
Because it's Solemnity.
Solemnity.
And Phyrexian Unlife.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Oh, you got real disappointed by that.
What is it? No, give it to me. Read it.
Phyrexian Unlife says, you don't lose the game for having 0 or less life. And as long as you have 0 or less life, all damage is dealt to you as though it had infect. So it essentially gains you 10 life for 3-mana enchantment. But Solemnity says that players can't get counters, and counters can't be put on artifacts, creatures, or enchantments, or lands.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Yeah, so this means that you can't be damaged for the rest of the game.
I think this is awesome. I thought you were going to put this with like an ad nauseum type of thing or something
Yeah, Phyrexian Unlife does combo with ad nauseum, because life loss is not damage, because that's bullshit.
Yeah, that's not, even though that's not in CDH, that's not casual. That's still not good.
No, drawing your whole deck, to me, for some reason, that's not casual to me. Finding a combo naturally is casual to me. A combo that wins the game naturally is a combo to me.
Yeah.
But to me, drawing your whole deck isn't.
It's too far.
Too far.
It's too far. If you draw all your whole deck with one action. Like,
yes.
In AC, when I manually play a land, draw 4 cards because I have so many ridiculous things out, play another land, draw another 4 cards.
Oh, no, you're doing so much
to
work
me,
for that.
That's me, that's the epitome of casual. I'm going to manually draw through my whole deck.
But no, ad nauseum for Phyrexian Unlife is just your whole library for nothing else. And then you probably are playing Mana Crypt in that deck or some kind of shit, which is then going to make me mad too. Yeah.
I would say, though, that the Unlife combo to just like not be able to be killed, I think that's awesome. That very squarely fits in the world of like casual commander. You do have to protect the enchantments. If someone gets rid of the enchantments, then you can still die.
But I feel like this is perfect for an enchantress deck, because then you play one of those enchantments that gives your other enchantment Shroud, so like it protects this that way, so that people have to have 2 removal spells, or 3 if you have another thing that makes like a copy of an enchantment or something.
Sterling Grove, I think, is the
Sterling
one that
gives Grove is one. I think there's another one probably that does that too.
The only thing I would recommend is, if you've established this, you have a way that you can get your way out of it. Now, there's going to be a lot of situations where this is all you can do and you have no way to actually win the game, and you just kind of like stop yourself from dying. And like, even still, that's kind of the fun part. That's fun, you know what I mean? But you got to also remember that you have to have ways to win the game as well. This isn't really a win condition. This is only delaying the inevitable.
Yeah, right. This is until you get to maybe one of these other one card win conditions, maybe, or something like...
Not in casual,
but like... I don't know. We'll talk about some later that maybe...
Especially in like Pillow Fort decks, I think this is like a great Pillow Fort way to like be 100% like not be able to be out damage. I give this one like a 3.
I think this is a solid 3 as well too. Because again, this one kind of breaks the rule. I feel like I can't really give it 5 just because it's not winning you the game immediately. But it is a very fun combo that players can get around. I think it fits really well within the casual space. So I think 3 is what it gets.
I love it.
The next one is Maze's End and then 10 Guild Gates.
I've never seen this happen in real life, have you?
No, neither have I. I want to so badly. So do I.
Yeah.
Because technically, like, Reshape the Earth is a combo with Maze's End.
I forgot that, yes, that is allowed now.
Yeah, search your library for up to 10 land cards and just put them onto the battlefield tapped.
There's 10 gates, though, right?
There's 10 gates.
So you need 10 gates, plus you still need the other one.
The Maze's End?
The Maze's End.
Yeah.
So you still need to find one of the lands before you cast that.
And then you still need to pay. You need to tap Maze's End and 3 more mana to activate its win condition, too.
Why am I assuming that Door to Nothingness and Maze of End must be in the same deck? Is there a reason? Do those cards come out in like the same set or something? Because for me, if you're playing Maze of End,
you should just be playing
Door to Nothingness. As well, but is that not true?
That makes sense. I feel like I would do that.
I feel like for some reason, if I'm playing this combo, I specifically am either one, a gate deck, right?
A gate deck, yeah.
It should be mazes. Why aren't they mazes?
Because it is, that's a great question.
All right.
Because the maze ran through the guild gates.
Oh, okay.
It was through the whole city. The maze was the city.
There's only one maze.
Yeah, and then this is the maze's end.
Okay, I understand. Sorry.
I'm just trying to make excuses for it. You're probably right.
But I feel like you got to specifically either be in a gate deck, obviously, like this is the whole thing you're doing, or I feel like if you're also in just like 5-color. Extra ways to win the game. I think, like, I also want Door to Nothingness.
I think the only reason why you wouldn't do that is if you're playing like a 5-color lands deck and you just went all in on like Scapeshift and Amulet of Vigor so that I can win the game immediately when I Scapeshift, find my 10 gates, and then
rest in peace, Golos. I feel like this would be the deck for Golos.
Man, what a shame.
What a shame.
Unban Golos. That's the top of what everyone needs right now.
Yeah, that's what we all need back. Yep. The return of Golos.
Yep, the return of Golos.
I like this. If you're playing 5 colors and you get all the gates, I think that's awesome. If you do it with the 1 card, that's still awesome. It's like a very expensive card that you have to spend mana on and then untap. If you have the amulet to untap stuff too, great. Then you have, there's so many different pieces that you have to have going. Good on you.
But if you just like naturally draw into them, like,
even better.
Fucking yeah,
that's even cooler.
Although I want to actually reread Maze's End real quick. Search your library for a gate card and put it onto the battlefield, then shuffle your library if you control 10 or more gates with different names. So here's what's really cool. They've printed more gates than just like the guild gates. Like Baldur's Gate is a card, and there's even more gates than that too.
Yeah.
You have more than just the 10 guild gates that you can play. There's actually a lot of ways that things can go right for you, even if like you lose out on some of them. I don't know.
This would also be a great win condition, very flavorfully, for one of the Nimbizzets, like the 5-mana ones that do stuff for 2-color pairs.
Oh my god.
That would be
an
awesome way to win the game with that deck.
Wow, I kind of want to build this deck. This is so sick.
I feel like you don't play Door to Nothingness if you're doing that.
No, because then I would be focused around Ravnica and Niv-Mizzet.
Yes, I would do all of the
Niv-Mizzets.
No, but I was using all of the charms. All of the charms.
Oh, all the charms.
Azorius Charm and the like.
All the Niv-Mizzets then. Put all the Niv-Mizzets in.
At least, yeah, might as well.
If you're playing 10 charms, actually, you're playing more like 20 plus charms. It's really a charm deck because you get all the 3-color charms then too.
Well, you don't play them though because the Niv-Mizzet that we're playing is the one that it finds 2-color things.
Oh, that one. There's multiple 5-color Niv-Mizzets now.
I know, yeah, but we're playing the Ravnica one. We should do the one that's
one.
Like,
we should play the good one.
It's guild based.
Are we playing Food Chain?
Ooh. It's like a CEDH deck now.
No, it's a CEDH. Things lead to CEDH.
Is it on the ETB? Is it ETB that Niv-Mizzet?
Yeah, that one is on ETB, yeah.
Okay, and then you find, we've played this deck before on the channel.
Yeah, no, that is a legit Food Chain deck. If you have infinite mana, you can just like cycle through and like find good cards.
The specific ones, like there's a couple of them.
A couple of them.
That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the Maze's End, though. This one, I'm going to give solid 4.4.
4.4?
4.4, yeah.
Nice. I'm going to give it a 4, so it's going to come out of here with a 4.2. Just because I've never seen it happen.
Yeah, I know.
But that's my fault, though, I think.
Yeah, it's got
to
be.
Yeah. The next one is near and dear to your heart. This is Gravecrawler. Gravecrawler is like the name of this combo right here. Yeah. So it's really Gravecrawler and like Phyrexian Altar in particular is what allows you to get infinite sacrifice triggers, infinite death triggers, infinite storm count, infinite ETB triggers, infinite leaves the battlefield triggers if you have another zombie. And it works great with Rooftop Storm as well, too, even if you don't have Phyrexian Altar, because Rooftop Storm allows you to cast zombies for free.
So any Sack Khalid will combo with Rooftop Storm.
Like Carrion Feeder, exactly. Yeah, that is a zombie that allows you to cast it back from your graveyard. You'll get an infinitely large Carrion Feeder that way. Tell me about how you utilize Gravecrawler in your zombies casual deck right now.
With a lot of these cards, you also need a payoff. With the Gravecrawler and the Phyrexian Altar and another zombie in play, you can sacrifice a Gravecrawler with and make a mana with it and recast from your graveyard, but you still need like a payoff, so you still need something like a what's one of the Diagraphs called?
Diagraph Captain's the one that is the payoff and a zombie.
Yeah, that one is a payoff and a zombie, and it drains your opponent each time. There's a Diagraph Colossus that allows you to get a 2-2 zombie every time you cast a zombie.
Oh, so that's infinite zombies infinite that you zombies. Get. Yeah.
I play it in Kisa and Giraffe, which is my casual zombie deck, but I don't play the Phyrexian Altar. For some reason, that's when it's too far. Phyrexian Altar doesn't say zombie on it in any way. It doesn't really fit the theme.
Yeah, that
for
makes
me,
sense.
The theme of my deck is specifically zombies and self-mill. And so if it doesn't do either of those things, not going in the deck. I am putting the new Warren Soul Trader in that deck, though, which basically acts as a Phyrexian Altar, but it's capped by life total a little bit. But it itself is a zombie. So for me, that one totally fits theme, and I'm very excited to put it in.
You also play Grimgrin Corpseborn, which is another way to sacrifice Gravecrawler as well to keep these loops going if you're looking for that too.
Specifically with Rooftop Storm, that there is a way to now get the combo off for just 6 mana if I just have all of the cards in my hand and cast the Rooftop Storm for 6 mana, but I still have to have all of those cards. So for me, I kind of budge on that 7 mana restriction for that one because, I don't know, it's so zombie themed that feels like it's kind of too perfect not to. Rules are meant to be broken.
I just found Warren Soul Trader and I'm rereading it and yeah, I feel like that is like the perfect thing for this
It's the
thing.
Perfect
yeah.
thing for the deck. It's exactly what I wanted the Phyrexian Altar to be. The life loss, I'm almost glad that it caps it a little bit and makes it a little bit more fair at the cost of being a zombie. That's well worth it for me.
Because it is a shame that like Blood Artist or Zulaport Cutthroat aren't zombies.
Not zombies.
Because that's how you would go infinite with it. But
and a lot of casual players will just because they're playing Aristocrat style type of decks. And I think this is a great win for those type of decks as well.
You're
for
just
me,
into zombies.
I'm into zombies.
Yeah. That's... That's funny. What would you rate this?
Gravecrawler
combo?
Is, to be truthful, Gravecrawler is a first love of mine. When I first started playing Innistrad, Gravecrawler was like the first card that I went to, and my friend Justin Detention Sphered it for the first time and got rid of two of my Gravecrawlers, and I said, what the hell? So what's the whole point of this? Is I want to be able to cast from my graveyard. So for me, it has a very nostalgic purpose. It was like the first like black-red vampires or black-red zombies the deck was called, but it played Falconwrath Aristocrat. That was a standard deck that I played when I first got into the format. So Gravecrawler is one of my favorite cards.
Dude, I played the black-red deck when Thundermaw Hellkite was in it.
Oh, my
and
God.
Four Thundermaw Hellkite, four of this.
The fucking coolest deck ever, you mean. Yes, that deck
That deck was
is
so cool.
Awesome.
Four Grafdigger's Messenger, Garoff's Messenger.
Garoff's Messenger, yeah. So you're playing four triple black card and then also a double red five drop in your aggro deck. It was incredible.
Awesome.
Yeah. So Gravecrawler for me, 5 out of 5. That's a love of mine.
5 out of 5,
five
you
out of
say.
Five.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm going to give it, combos. I think I'm going to give it a 4.
Okay.
I think I'm giving it a 4, so that'll come out with a 4.5.
Do you have any more?
I have a ton more, yeah.
Nice.
All right, the next one is Malira Silvok Outcast.
Okay.
And a persist creature like Murderous Redcap and a sacrifice outlet such as Carrion Feeder or we're going to use Viserysir as our example because that's what I used in Modern mostly.
Yeah, that's fair. This one I feel like is one that really kind of only exists for nostalgic purposes.
It does exist in CEDH because there's green-black Hulk piles that will find Malira and then Lesser Masticore as their persist creature and then either like Disciple of the Volt or Blood Artist as their trigger so that they can win the game that way.
This one, I just feel like it's such a fringe amount of CDH decks that I guess by now it does kind of, it almost is basically like a casual win condition. I've never loved it because all the pieces are so random on their own. They don't do anything by themselves. So I've never really liked that for casual. I still want all of my cards to do stuff. So I'm not really going to play this one very often, but it is nostalgic for Birthing Pod and Modern. That deck was super cool and played this combo.
Yeah, that's pretty much why I put it on the list, because this was like just like another combo that I remember loving a ton that like you could put in your casual deck and I think would be great, especially if you are playing Birthing Pod in your deck. Like, I think that's a cool thing to do, is take things that you can no longer do in the formats that you loved doing them in and bring them over to casual Commander and just do them there.
Yeah, I agree. But for me, I'm not playing this one, I don't think ever, so I'm going to give it a 2.
I think 2 is the perfect number for it, because if we were talking about Modern, this number would skyrocket, but we're not talking about Modern, so I think it gets a 2. The next one is Earthcraft and Squirrel's Nest. This is another classic mono-green combo here, where Earthcraft allows you to tap creatures to untap a basic land. But Squirrel's Nest lets you enchant your land so that it can tap to add a green squirrel creature.
Right.
So this way you can make infinite squirrels that are tapped, but then on your next turn, you win the game after that.
Yeah, this is a tricky one because of that tap thing. And I think that's kind of one of the main reasons that makes it kind of more of a casual combo. It's one that I did try out in Nath for a little while, and I was playing Nath stacks. It's too slow. You have to not only put it in play, but it has to wait a whole turn cycle. You have to do it on somebody's end step and then untap with it, and you still have to attack. It's just, it's not quite good enough for CDH. It doesn't make the cut. I do think that does mean that it kind of makes like a lot of casual decks pretty cool, especially if you're doing squirrel stuff, if you're doing like mono green stuff or just like lots of basic land stuff. I think this one can be cool, but it's very televised, so your opponents are going to see it ahead of time.
Yeah, definitely. But I think that's what kind of makes it an awesome casual combo, is that you give players a turn to like Blasphemous Act or something and like give them a reason to keep playing the game and see if they can get out of it. And if they can't, then you win. And then that's awesome. I feel like that's a great casual combo.
For me, I'm only playing this one in like token decks or squirrel decks. I feel like it's got to fit one of those two main things. Maybe Enchantress. I mean, I guess maybe Enchantress. But even still, I feel like that there's better enchantment type wins.
You know what? Maybe I would play this in enchantment deck in addition to like the Phyrexian Unlife one. I would like be protecting myself and waiting until I get this combo off.
Okay. Yeah.
Maybe that is something I would do if I was playing Sithis. But outside of that, I wouldn't necessarily be looking for this. Also, the reason why I'm not playing this is because Earthcraft is like $150.
Oh, that's a very good reason.
So I think that is something that makes this combo like still casual, but it like also kind of budgets me out from wanting to play this card in my decks.
I would have given it a 3, but since it costs $150, I'm going to dock it 1.5, and I'm going to give it a 1.5.
Give it a 1.5. I was going to give it a 150 because it cost a 150.
So that will balance out to like 149 or something?
Something like that. Yeah. No, I think 1.5 is a great grade. We're going to give it that. Actually, we're going to give it a 1.50 to signify how much Earthcraft is and how much we should abolish the reserve list. And we have another combo to talk about here. This is Aggravated Assault, which combos with things like Old Null Bones or even something like Sword of Feast and Famine. Really anything that's going to untap your lands from dealing damage. Aggravated Assault is a 3-mana enchantment that for 5 mana, 3 and 2 red, gives you another combat step after this one.
Yep.
And then if you have something like Old Null Bones, it gets in, deals 7 damage, bada bing, bada boom. You make 7 treasures and then only put 5 of them into another combat. You can make infinite mana this way. If no one can deal with the flyer, you're able to just kill the table right away.
Yeah, it's also good with stuff like Umbramantle. What's the green enchantment?
Bear Umbra,
yeah.
Yeah, that's another Bear one that... Umbra. The Reaver Cleaver is a newer card that also goes infinite with it too. And Neheb the Eternal still goes infinite with it.
We thought it didn't for a day or two.
Yep.
And then they said, never mind.
Never mind. Everyone hated that.
Yeah, which makes total sense. Why would you change the way that a previous card worded? Just make it going forward.
Especially if we're already solving the problem by fixing the wording moving ahead.
Right, yeah. So I'm glad that Neheb can still use this combo. I think this is a great casual combo because it requires you to be able to connect on damage, which isn't always possible. I did try it out in Tovalar. I didn't love it in Tovalar. Tovalar naturally wants to be like connecting for combat damage to draw cards with Tovalar, so you would think that other ways that like you'd want to connect for damage to gain an effect, like the Bear Umbra that allow you to untap lands and stuff like that, would be good. And then pairing that with extra combats in a deck that wants to attack would be good. I just found it was too many things that didn't attack. You know what I mean? Like in my attack deck, I don't want too much stuff that doesn't attack. And the stuff that doesn't attack, I kind of need it to be removal or a way to find stuff that can attack or card advantage or something.
Or honestly, something cheap.
Right.
Because like all the other things, like Savage Ventmaw is another expensive creature too, right? Like there's not really a lot of space for a lot of cheap creatures that allow you to do this. You absolutely hit the nail on the head. Like a lot of the things I'm looking at that make infinite mana, Druid's Repository, Nature's Will, like these Najeela cards that don't attack. Like they work in Najeela because Najeela makes all the attackers, but this deck needs to also find the attackers and go around blockers.
That's kind of how I feel. It kind of gets a low rating for me, although it is like a cool combo to get infinite combat. It just seems like it's a tricky one to actually get off. So for me, I'm rating it kind of low. I'm going to give it like a 2.5.
Ooh, I'm going to give it a 3. So we're going to give it 2.75 will be its final answer here. All right, the rest of the list here is like some other cards that need a lot of other things to go right.
Okay.
But it's just more of the theme of one card that just like kind of combos with other stuff in your deck, and there's a billion different ways to make it work.
Yep.
So the first one is kind of like a category of things, which is Overrun effects.
Yeah, Craterhoof Behemoth.
And Triumph of the Hordes are the two that always come to my mind.
Yeah, I think those are great casual win cons. That this is the format to play those types of cards. I feel like you have to have such a setup, you have to have such a board presence before they resolve, and still your opponents can still remove some of them and stop some of the damage. There's a certain point where if you have 20 creatures, they're going to have to remove all of them, or it doesn't matter, you're going to be dead. I think that's the point. We need ways to end the game in casual, and I think Craterhoof is such a cool way to do that.
Especially because a lot of casual board states just get clogged up with a bunch of creatures and no one can really attack because they can't do it profitably and they lose a bunch of creatures. But these cards just like get you over the top. And even if you only take out two players somehow, like you're still left in such an advantageous situation against the last one there. So I think these are a super great way to win the game, Craterhoof especially. So I think these are going to be way more towards the top of the list.
Yeah, definitely. You just have to make sure that you have enough ways to get multiple bodies in play quickly. Because there are going to be some situations I've played decks with Craterhoof where I have it and I can cast it and it's going to give my creatures +3/+3. And when it's given +3/+3,
yeah,
at 8 mana, it's really not enough. You know what I mean? But if you're given +10/+10, that's to the point where you're dealing like over 100 damage, then it's really quite good. So you have to make sure that you have a deck that consistently can get to like around 10 creatures at least for casual commander. That's how much it needs to be worth it for me. But
you got
to
be playing mana dorks and you got to be playing things that can make more than one creature at a time. I really liked this in Volo. It was my only beast in my Volo deck, so it would make a copy of it as it entered, and that way that like I never really had to worry about it not killing the table. It would just always get there for you.
Yep, I played it in my Reanimator deck when I was playing
Standard in five color rights.
No, but it was based off of that deck, the casual deck.
Oh, Nethroi.
Nethroi.
Yeah.
Nethroi is the one. It's a great Unbarrel Rites target. I love the card. I don't play it much right now in any of my decks, but I still think it's a great high rating, 4.7.
Oh, 4.7. That's a great rating.
The highest,
I think, you know what? I think it is the best way to win. I'm going to give it a 4.9.
It's the epitome of casual, I think.
It really is. Yeah. Green creatures that are overrunning the table. You're winning with combat damage, which is honestly how I prefer to win in casual. So I love that.
Although
8,
I will say,
final grade.
Gray Merchant, I do like Gray Merchant more than Craterhoof. So I have definitely rated these cards incorrectly. Realistically, Gray Merchant's like a 4.9 for me. Can we update it? You have the power.
I do. I do have the power. What are you going to do for me?
Nothing.
Yeah, what do you want to change your answer to?
4.9 for the Gray Merchant of Asphodel. I'm locking that in. It's one of my favorites.
It's like 4.7. Duh, Cameron. Yeah, that's what it comes out to, 4.7. The next one is another category that's like multiple different cards that you kind of have to have together. But this is going to be infinite turns, extra turns.
Nexus of Fate is one that comes to mind when you can just kind of like manually draw through your deck like I've done with AC and just cast Nexus of Fate over and over again. I actually just recently took Nexus of Fate out of my deck because it was the only card in the deck that didn't say the word land on it.
Oh, that's interesting, yeah.
So I instead put the other extra turn spell that allows you to buy it back by sacrificing three islands.
Oh, yeah.
You know the one?
Yeah,
it's
this
on
one.
Screen right now.
Yeah.
I put that one in. So the idea is with a Ramunap Excavator or something like that where you can play lands from your graveyard and a number of effects that allow you to play three additional lands.
Oh, it's the same thing.
There's a couple of them, explorations and things like that. If you get three of them, you can just still get infinite turns that way.
You know what? That's even better because you don't have to go and find Nexus of Fate back in your deck. It's just back in your hand.
It's just right in the hand again. Yeah. So I've been liking that as like a way to swap that out to still get extra turns, but you need so many things. You need the thing that can get lands back from the graveyard. You need ways to get at least three lands per turn. And then so you need at least two cards for that. You need the extra turn spell. You need enough mana to still do all these things. It waits way until the end of the game before it can actually do anything, but it's still like, I don't know. It just seems like the perfect way to win in a lands deck.
What I really like about that is that it just waits until the end of the game before you're taking a bunch of these extra turns. I feel like the stigma against the infinite turns decks in casual is that they're playing these combos that like also incentivize them to want to play every single extra turn spell in their deck. Whereas like at least in this case, you only have to play at max one or two, or do you even play in the second one?
Just the one.
Yeah, see, you only need the one. Whereas, like, if I play Kenneros, which is a deck that wants me to get like a bunch of extra turns or something like that and really abuse getting its trigger a bunch. Like, I feel like I want to play every single extra turn in that deck instead.
Yeah, and that's fair. I think the key is when playing those decks is to just make sure that you're playing quickly. Think ahead a little bit and make sure that you can continuously making game actions. I think most pods will be generally cool with you as long as you are continuing to make game actions auctions, game actions. If you have to tank every time you draw a new card and then you're taking a whole bunch of extra turns, that can be kind of annoying.
Yeah,
right?
Just make plays. You don't even have to be the most optimal. Just make plays.
And don't take that as a way that, you know, to be nervous if you're trying to play your deck. Just practice the deck more. You'll get there with practice. It's okay if you're making a mistake, but just do your best effort to make sure that you're keeping the pace of the game up.
So for all of the social reasons that go behind infinite turns, I'm going to give this one like a 2.5.
I'll give it a 2.6.
Ooh, okay. 2.55. is going to be its final rating then. Cool. All right, next one is a card that gets a category all to its own. This is Primal Surge.
Oh, I love this one in my
Primal
beginning
Surge,
days.
Yeah, should I just read this one? Because it's just one card, right? But it makes you build your deck a whole specific way. So Primal Surge is 8 and 2 green for a sorcery that says exile the top card of your library. If it's a permanent card, you may put it onto the battlefield. If you do, repeat this process.
If you have no non-permanents in your deck, you do the whole deck.
So I guess the real thing is, like, you're also playing Craterhoof Behemoth and other things like Urbrask that can give all of your creatures haste. So there's really other cards that you're playing in your deck to win the game this way.
When I played this in casual, I was playing it with Laboratory Maniac and like a Baleful Strix and like a way to like reanimate or sacrifice a Baleful Strix
That's
if it came
so
at the
funny.
Wrong time
yeah.
or something. That was my way to win the game at the time. That was before I found CDH. So at this point, if I made this strategy now, I think I would do the Craterhoof way. I would win with combat damage over like a Thassa's Oracle or
yeah,
something like
do
that.
Do the Urbrask and yeah. the Craterhoof
Although,
Behemoth.
That is kind of fun to do it with Thassa's Oracle, but then you're putting Thassa's Oracle in your casual deck. I don't know.
I feel like people don't like that.
I feel like people don't like that.
Yeah.
But it's okay.
You know what? If you... I shouldn't say that.
Say it.
If you want to get Thassa's Oracle banned in Commander, play it in all of your casual decks.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
It's not going to get banned if it's only seeing CEDH play. If it's ruining every casual game that you're playing, it will get banned.
Yeah, that's true. But that's like telling everyone to like have a miserable experience for the next 4 years in order to get the card banned.
Got to do what you got to do. Play Nadu and Thassa's Oracle, and that's how you get these cards out of the format.
Did you see they did? There was a Magic Online tournament where they played no ban list Modern, and Nadu won.
That's wild. Oh, my God.
That's crazy,
so funny.
Right?
Yeah. You know, well, I think when Randy Bueller did the Gauntlet of Greatness for no ban list Modern, he put the winner of the Gauntlet of Greatness, which was Glimpse of Nature Elves, up against Eldrazi Winter Eldrazi, which was like popular at that time.
Yeah.
And Eldrazi Winter Eldrazi also beat that
just
deck as well.
Right? Yeah.
Just stopped it immediately. So new cards will always beat old cards.
New cards will always beat old cards. What's the card that we're talking about?
We're talking about Primal Surge.
2. No, 1.
You're going to give it a 1.
It's old news.
New cards are better than old. It gets a 1. You know what?
Yeah.
That makes me not excited for our last card then.
Okay, give it to me.
This is Insurrection.
Oh, this is one that I've never actually been able to cast, but I've always wanted to.
This is 5 and 3 red for a sorcery that untaps all creatures and lets you gain control of all of them until end of turn and they gain haste.
For me, I don't want to play this one unless I'm playing things like Rapid Hybridization for some reason. Like if I'm giving my opponents things,
oh,
I want to take that
dope.
Stuff too.
Oh my God, dude. We got to build like a Suture Priest deck then. You build a Suture Priest deck and you give everyone a bunch of different cards. You play like the Hallowed cycle that like are huge creatures for cheap mana, but give your opponents tokens.
Bingo. That's what I want to do. There's also some Sarkhan Planeswalkers that like destroy something and make a dragon or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
Stuff like that I think would be cool.
Yeah, I think that would be awesome. And then you play Insurrection and you win the game with other people's creatures.
Bingo.
Maybe what you do is you play no creatures in your deck and that's how you win.
I think, yeah, in this deck that we would make, you'd make no. Well, the only creatures that you could play are the ones that you donate to your opponents.
Yeah, they would just be that.
You never have any creatures on your side of the board.
Five color Zedru, basically. Like Zedru is like a, you play Zedru, it's just like a secret commander, you're just giving shit away.
I think this is a great win condition for that type of deck.
Yeah. Cool. I love Insurrection. I've also never seen it go off.
I think it's not very good most
of
the time.
It's 8 mana. It's an 8 mana. So this is where its home should be, but...
Yeah, I think more often than not, it's going to like take the creatures in the mid game and deal like 25 damage, give them back, and then That's all it's going to do. I think that's going to happen a lot. You have to be very patient and wait till the end. And in our metas, the board's getting wiped like every other turn cycle, it feels like.
That's true. Yeah, we play a lot of board wipes. I play a lot of board wipes.
Yeah, the reason why Crater Hoof is a little bit better, I think, is because you kind of can control, like on your turn, you can play a couple more creatures to give Crater Hoof an extra boost to all your stuff. Or Insurrection, you can't control like at all.
Yeah, it's very meta dependent. Because if you're playing again, I make a lot of 1/1 tokens. Who cares? Like you're going to take 5 of their tokens and then deal 5 damage with that. And that's going to be it for that player. But like you say, Crater Hoof, like it's actively pumping all of the creatures. It's giving them trample. Like it's giving you a much more of a push to end the game.
I'm still going to rate this one highly because I think it's a classic commander card. So definitely. I'm going to say 3.9, not quite a 4 though.
I will say it is a 3, giving it a 3.45 to end the list here.
That sounds right.
Too.
Okay. Did we talk about, we didn't say expropriate when we talked about infinite extra turns.
But that's, I guess, where that would go. Yeah, because expropriate is kind of like an extra turn spell. But a lot of times, if players are playing right, is just one extra turn and then you're getting all of their permanents.
Right.
Or some of their permanents.
Some of their permanents, yeah. I think that's the right way to play it. But it should just be one extra turn, but there are going to be times there's going to be 2 or 3 extra
turns.
2
extra turns, yeah, exactly. Which, I mean, that's just going to be a lot of advantage for you there.
You deserve to win the game if you're resolving an 8-mana spell or something.
Yeah, like that card wins you the game. I didn't put it here because like it doesn't just like win the game on its own. That's definitely another infinite turns card that I would blanket under there.
Yeah, we didn't talk about this. I want to really quickly mention damage doublers like Gisela. I think that's a great way for like Boros or red decks to also kind of push through final damage, although not being a win condition. And that's it. That's all I wanted to say.
That's totally fair. Well, hey, there's a lot of commander combos that are out there. So if there's a combo that we didn't talk about today that you want us to talk about, leave it in a comment below. And maybe we'll do a part 2.
Thanks so much for watching or listening. If you'd like to support us directly, you can do so on Patreon, like our $100 patrons.
Insomnia, ST Phillips, Gecko 21, Caleb Ritchie, Zach Hartley, Sean in the Ice, Mark Cirillo, Stormageddon, Luke Cook, Demon of Rosgrease, Cornell Wild, Uncle Butt, Nick Foles, Godo 9, Quaja A. Hamid, and Baby G Bus.
If you want to pick up any of our merch, you can do that at playtowinmtg.com.
Thank you so much, Dragon Shield, for supporting the show. Use our code playtowin5 at our affiliate link down below for 5% off.
If you want to follow us on TikTok, Twitter, and Instagram, you can do that on our internet.
Thank you so much for watching.
See you next time.
Mystic Muffin Man, Nick Saxby, Jacob Bauer, Reactive, Tyler Watson, Brian Barrington, Zachary Coulson, Tyler H, X Tyler the Tree X, Mallcraft, Driving Crooner, Jabaha, Dalton Poteet, Hobo Ghost, Justin, Man Solo, Jacob Depp, Jan Wildfang, Thomas Bueno, and David Nelson.
Huh?
Huh? What are they selling?
I said they're selling chocolate.
The microphone's not picking you up. I think you got to talk higher.
I got to talk a little bit higher?
Yeah, a little higher pitch even.
Okay, what about this? Like, what if I consistently talk like this?
I think the higher it is, that sounds more real on the recording.
A little higher, you say?
Higher than that,
even higher? Okay.
Welcome.
Your microphone's not picking you up. You have to speak in a lower register.
Lower. Oh, sorry. Oh, here it is. Yeah, that sounds normal now. When I talk normal like this. Yeah,
this is how this podcast
is
sounds now.
This is about as low as I can go when I talk like this. I'm talking.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.